Matthew chapter 13. We're not going to look at our maps tonight, as last week we did a little bit of a review. As we geographically trace Jesus' footsteps, of course, all the way starting from his birth, and even before that, where his parents came from, and going down from Nazareth, down, or depending on how you say up or down, going up in elevation, but certainly from Nazareth to then to Bethlehem, of course, Jesus being born, and then just as he was gone, going to Egypt and back, and Nazareth, and then back to Jerusalem, and up and down and all around Jesus went. And of course, now, recently, who would remember where is Jesus kind of honed in on what region? Right now, we have three different regions in geographically. Again, we're not going to look at our maps up here for you to look at. But what region do we have down in the southern? If we divide Israel as a whole up into three, in the south we have what? Okay, we have Judea. And then right in the middle we have Samaria. And then up north we have the region of Galilee. Okay, very good. Galilee up north, and Jesus is going to spend a lot of time up here. And specifically, Jesus is spending a lot of time right now on the Sea of Galilee, okay? And so he is spending a lot of time there, and he has been ministering to a variety of group of people. Most recently, we looked at Jesus, and according to a couple different passages, remember, each of the Gospels is the same story a lot of times, but as we have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then sometimes John, it's coming at us from a different perspective. And so it's good for us to look at the different passages to see the different perspectives. Anyway, we have the perspective last week that we looked specifically in Mark. We looked at Mark's perspective, but we see Jesus there as he is healing and he is casting out demons. And then some would come to him and say that his power and strength of how he was casting out these demons was from Satan himself, which Jesus tore down right away and says, how can Satan cast out Satan? That doesn't even make sense. And we looked at some of the implications and applications of that. Others claim that Jesus, not in refusing to eat and not caring about the temporal things of life, they accused him of acting out in insanity. What are you doing? You're crazy. And of course, he was, even from his youth, busy about his father's business. And so here we have Jesus. We have him by the seaside staying. And I want you to look. We're going to be looking at the parable of the sower, okay, tonight. And so Jesus is going to begin to give a number of parables. And why did the parables start to come? Now, I can't tell you for sure exactly what's taken place here, but some have suggested that when his own people, his own family, his own friends looked at Jesus and said, you know what, Jesus, you're crazy. You don't even take the time to eat. Why are you doing this? And he saw the Pharisees and his people rejecting him, that in a sense, for a while, he went away, he backed up from Israel, and he opened his ministry up a little bit for a while to the crowds and to the Gentiles, if we could say. And so for a little while, we're going to see him giving parables to these people. Now, all along as he gives parables, there's a purpose for those. He's giving those people that care about him and want to know the truth, he's giving them insight. Well, at the same time, there are other people that honestly don't want to hear, and yet they're trying to tempt him and trick him and to really get him to make a mistake in what he says. And it's those parables, those people are actually going to be more confused. Their own lack of desire for Jesus is going to push them away, and for others that have the desire, it's going to pull them in. Kind of an amazing thing that Jesus does with his parables. Now in Matthew chapter 13, there's a little bit of a time where he deals with why the parables. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, he addresses the situation with parables. And I don't know if we'll go there next week or not, but sandwiched in, that was in between, but on either side, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then the explanation, verses 18 to 23, we have this parable given and then explained. What are the parallel passages here? Well, in Mark, if you're taking notes, you could go to chapter 4 and look at verses 1 to 20. And that's going to give us Mark's perspective of this parable of the sower and the seed. And then Luke is going to deal with it a little bit in chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. Now, often in this series and study, we've been going to each passage and reading each perspective. Because of the length of the passage tonight, we're not going to do it, but we're going to hone in on Matthew's perspective tonight. So we're going to stay here in Matthew chapter 13. I want to read verses 1 to 9, which is going to give the parable as he gives it to them. And then we're going to jump ahead to verse 18 to 23 as he gives the explanation. Then I want to help maybe answer some questions for you as we go through this and see some things that we need to respond that way also. Okay? So Matthew chapter 13, let's look at verses 1 to 9. Okay? Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. And the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Remember, he's right by the Sea of Galilee right now. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, and here's the start of the parable. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And get verse 9, because this is the key. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a key verse, okay, as we look at the application. Now let's jump down to verse 18, as he gives the explanation. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now again, verses 10 to 17, Jesus is addressing this question of the disciples. Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answers that. We're going to skip that for right now. Look at what Jesus says now to his disciples. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but it dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. All right. So what about this parable? I think that there's been a lot of parables that they're hard to understand. Just like the disciples, we scratch our head and say, Jesus, what did you mean by that? And I'll tell you, you've probably read a lot of things and heard a lot of things about the parable of the seed and the sower. And I'll tell you, you can find a lot of things out there about what each one was and what is this and who was saved and who wasn't. And honestly, I'm not going to be able to answer all the questions because I don't get everything about it. But what I want to give you tonight is the main idea of it and the main principle that you and I need to carry away with it as a hearer and as also a teacher. All right, so who is mentioned here? We have a sower. We have a sower that is mentioned, in verse 3. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. In verse 19, we see 18 says the parable of the sower. So we see this individual who is, and in verse 19 it says a little bit about the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, what can we conclude about the sower? What are they giving out? The word of the kingdom, right? He's a preacher. He's sharing about the truth. And in this case, the sower would have been Jesus, the preacher. Jesus is going around, he's giving all kinds of truth. He's given truth to his disciples. He's given truth to the multitudes. He's given truth to those people that are demon-possessed. He's given truth to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's given truth to his family members. He's giving out truth. In a sense, he's the preacher here. And in a practical application in our setting here, it'd be the preacher that gives the truth, the word of God. So we have a truth giver, who is, in this case, Jesus. Here we have the sower. And in the and there was a couple different ways, even in this region of our world, in which they sowed. And in some cases, they took effort to go down into the ground and plant it in certain places. In other cases, to take it and to cast it here and to cast it there as they went. And even in some cases, maybe to put it on an animal and just at a certain place, let it go again wherever they went. And so this story that Jesus gives is very practical in their setting. They see it happen all the time. And of course, with all of the seed that is put, they see that, you know, some sets and gets taken away, some is there, and yet the sun beats down on it, it's withered away. Some of it is choked out by all the thorns, and then, of course, some of it is going to fall on good ground and it's going to rise. So we see the who. The sower is Jesus. He's the preacher. What about the seed? What is he giving? Of course, in verse 19, we looked a little bit. When one heareth what? The word. Okay, so the word's being given. So he's given out the word. And that's the seed that's being planted or scattered there. It's the seed of the word that's given. So we have a preacher giving God's word. And then thirdly, we have the element of the soil. And that's the difference. Let me ask you the question, is the preacher right in this case? I'm not talking about this preacher, I'm talking about this preacher. Is he always right? Is he given the right thing? Absolutely. It's not going to be that preacher's fault if something takes place. Now, it could be my fault if something takes place if I don't give the proper word. But in this case, he's given the right thing. And as I give the word of God, the truth of the scriptures, then it's going to be the right thing. What about the seed itself? What about the scriptures? Is the scriptures always going to be the right thing? Always going to be the right thing. Where's the problem with this seed actually coming up and being able to grow so that it's valuable? It's with the soil, okay? It's with the different types of soil that are being presented here, okay? So we have the soil, and this would be the heart of the hearer. Or if I could say, the reception of the word that has been preached. Are you following what's being said here? It's the heart of the individual that is there listening as the word is being given. The preacher gets up, and if he's doing the right thing, he's going to give the truth from the word of God and make good application of what the word of God is saying. The word of God is going to be good. And we know that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that the word of God, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Based on that verse alone, is the word of God, the seed, always good? Always. We're not dealing with bad seed when we're dealing with the Word of God. But folks, the hearer, or if I can say those who hear the Word and whether or not they receive it, that's the indicator of whether or not there's going to be fruit coming up from this. It's all based upon the hearing. And if I could take it a little bit further, I think what Jesus is saying is not just the hearing, but in the doing, in the application of it. They're going to take it, and they're going to put it to good use. Remember what James says in chapter 1? He said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So as we go through the different types of soil, now we're not talking about the different types of preachers. We're not going to talk about the different types of seed. We're going to talk about the different types of soil. And every one of us and how we hear and how we receive it is what will happen with it. Now, I know that many of you are not athletes and you're not football players, okay? And it's probably a good thing. I was. And just like when I went through that discipleship back there in Sunday school several months ago, I want you to recall the illustration that I used. Again, you don't have to be some superhero football player to understand. We have the quarterback that's there with the ball. And, of course, he receives that from the center. And he gets that ball and he comes back. And his job is he's either going to keep it himself and run with it. And the goal, of course, is at the end that he wants to score a touchdown. He's going to keep that ball himself because there's nobody in a better position than him to take it. Or he's going to hand it off to a running back so that they can go through the line. And maybe there's an open hole there that they can run towards the end. And he's given it to somebody maybe in that case more valuable than he because they have the ability to take it where he can't. Or he's going to come back and he's going to find a receiver downfield and he's going to see them and he's going to take what is... Keep up with the illustration here. He's going to take what's important to him and he's going to see that person downfield because it would take him a long time and a lot of obstacles in the way to get there. And he's going to take that and he's going to try to transfer that an important truth to that individual so that they can do what? So that they can receive the truth themselves. You know what? When that quarterback gets that ball and he goes back and is ready to throw, he still has the truth. And when he throws it in the air, it's kind of his, but it's in the air. And he's hoping and trusting that receiver is going to catch that ball. And when that receiver catches that ball, he's taken it for himself. Now he's got the goods in order to take and score. You see, here in this illustration, we have an individual, the preacher, who wants to take the truth that it's already meant something to him. He's already stewed about it and gone through it and studied it. And he's got it. And God says, I want you to give it out. And so what he does is he takes that truth and he wants to pass it to everybody out there that's out there in the congregation. He wants them to hear. These are the hearers. You know what? Every receiver out there has got to decide that he wants to receive that truth as well. He's got to receive it for himself. For himself. That is a key phrase. He needs to receive it for himself. Listen, I want that truth and I want to do something with that truth as well. All of us right now out here, we're all, even under this preaching right now tonight, we're all receivers, we're all hearers. What are we going to do with the truth that we hear? And by the way, there's all kinds. There's all kinds of preachers. They do all kinds of things with the Word of God, and there's all kinds of soil that's out there. Let's look at the different kinds of soil. And as we go to each one, I want to make a quick application. Then I want to see some overall principles that we need to get that I think Jesus is trying to pass on to these people. First of all, we have this verse. We have verse 19. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received by the wayside. All right, we have the first one, the wayside. And as he starts off, he referred to it in verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by, again, the wayside. Now, when they talk about the wayside, this was part of the path that was there that was really... It was really hardened in its own self. It wasn't... The next one is going to... There's going to be a level of topsoil, and then underneath it's hard. This one is hard right on the way. This is the trodden path. This is where everybody walked, and it was there, and there's a hardness there. Now, we see it in the explanation that it says, and understandeth it not. Did you catch that? They don't understand it. When you study the language here, you understand that this is not an understanding that they want to understand, and they can't get it, and they're struggling. This is they don't want to get it. They don't want to hear. They really don't want the truth. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever, you think, been a person that has come to a church service or sat into the preaching of God's Word that didn't want to hear what was being preached? You know what? Maybe even you would recognize that there's been certain times in your life that you went and for a time and you didn't want to hear. you didn't want to learn because maybe there was something else in your life. These people don't want to hear. They're the kind that want to put the earplugs in and they don't want to receive the truth because they're maybe scared of the truth. They don't want to do it. They're not submissive to what God wants. They're not going to hear that truth. This is the hard-packed pathway. Again, people who refuse to hear the message, they choose not to understand. And what does Satan do with them? Comes along and snatches away the seed in cooperation with their hard heart. And it's never gone anywhere. Brothers and sisters, before we move on to the next type of soil, and this is the most distinct, this is the most maybe challenging of all of them, to say, listen, do you want to? Do you want to hear? Now, let me stop and say there's going to be questions that we'll answer here in a little bit. So did these people, were they Christians? Were they saved? I'm not going to answer that yet, right now, but I'll say this. Whether or not the conclusion is they were saved or not, these people, an application where Jesus is really trying, I personally, this is my own personal opinion, is we've made more of an issue of whether these people were saved or not. I think the main thing that Jesus is confronting is the hearers. Are you hearing? Are you receiving? Whether this is salvation or not, they have rejected it. They don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. They don't want to learn. My friends, I'll ask you the question before we move on. Just a quick application. I trust that many of us, or I hope that none of us are here. But how willing are you to hear the truth of the gospel? Do you want to know? Do you want to know the truth? Would you like to know? It's a dangerous thing when you want answers to life, but you don't want to know the truth. I have made it a practice now, and again, I'm young in the ministry, but I have found out that a lot of people want to come to me for advice, but what they're really looking for is for me to confirm what they already want to do. And if I give them something that they don't want to do, then they don't want to hear it. And I end up spending a lot of time going through certain things, and in the end, they shake their head and they don't want it. And so what I've started to do now is to stop before we, Pastor, I need your help with this. I need your help. And I'm happy to help. But one of the first questions I ask is this. Wherever God takes you, are you willing to listen to God and obey whatever He says? And yes, you say, Pastor, no, certainly somebody wouldn't say no and check out. Yes, they have. They have. I've had people sit there and say no. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, that's a dangerous position to be in, that said, I don't want the truth. Because you read right here, what happens when the truth is sown and given and they don't want to hear it? What happens? Satan comes along and takes that seed away. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, that seed is valuable. But if we have a heart that doesn't want to hear, but I ask you the question, what happens on a weekly basis when the Word of God is given? Do you wait to see what the title is? Do you wait to see what's going to be given? And do you make a quick decision of whether or not you're going to take it or not? I'll tell you what, every time the Word of God is preached, we ought to have an attitude. And I challenge you with this on Sunday mornings. When we have that time where Skip or Jane or Melissa or Bettina, whoever plays, one of them plays there, and we have that time, and I challenge you to commit this time to the Lord. Say, God, whatever you give me, I'm going to take it. I'm going to do it. I tell you, if we would have a hearing ear, we would see so much. But if we are going to be limiting and say, no, not whatever, God, you give me certain things and I'll take it, but don't go there. We're just like this group here that says, no, I'm not going to listen. And I'll tell you, I would put the Pharisees in this category. The Pharisees oftentimes came to Jesus tempting him, but they did not want to listen. They did not want to listen to what Jesus had to say. We need to be careful with that. Let's go on to the next type of soil. So we have the hard-packed pathway. Then we go on to the next. In the description, let's go to verse 20. Here's the second. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Here we have the rocky pathway, and to tell you the truth, this would seem, according to the geography, to be the topsoil that might be an inch or two thick, but right underneath that is bedrock. Has enough to get in just a little bit, but can only go so far. And when it gets to the hard times, when it gets to the difficult times, gives up. I have found in many times in the ministry, there are people that are very sporadic and very emotionally driven. Something happens, and maybe they hear the truth, they hear the word, and they get all excited, and they go gung-ho, and you get somebody that comes into your church, and they're excited about this, and you're sitting back there, and you say, wow, they've got a lot of zeal. But yet, sometimes those people, in all their excitement and in their zeal, and their, boy, they're doing this, and they're doing that, they're doing it out of zeal, but yet when the difficult times and the hard times come, they end up giving up. And these people end up going around and moving around because they're trying to find something that maybe will emotionally be exciting for them. I want to tell you something. The Christian life is exciting, for sure. But it doesn't mean the Christian life does not have its trials and tests. Many of you have been through difficult things in life and you've struggled and the hard times have come. And some people, when the hard times come, they jump ship and they've got to go somewhere else and they get discouraged. There's a lot of head with this person, yet not much heart. There's a start and yet no finish. Again, painting the picture of this hearer that gets all excited, you know, and they might go to a certain retreat and they're all excited and yet, boy, they're back down in the dumps the next week. And boy, we need to be careful on how we... And the point is for you not to think about all kinds of other people. The point here is to think about you. How do you respond to the truth? This person, again, when the test of life comes, the seed is scorched away. This person's not real. Shallow. One person said this, shallow earth yields shallow profession. And to them, when the difficult times come, they just throw in the towel, it's not worth it, and they walk away. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, what kind of a hearer are you? Are you a fair weather hearer when the message is what you want to hear? What about when it's difficult? What about when you've got to make some tough decisions? What about when the tough times of life comes? I've told you people many times this. I believe God says, be holy for I am holy, or as I am holy. He says that, and I think God wants us to cease from sin and to be righteous and holy. But the fact of the matter is we're sinners and we do sin. And what God is looking for is not the perfect person, although He wants us to be that. I think God is looking for the person that when they sin, they're going to get it right. They're going to be sorry for their sin. And of course, who am I thinking of when I say that? I think of David. David was a man. Did David have his faults? Did David fall? Did David fall hard? Did David make big mistakes? But what did David always do? He fell hard. But you know what? When he hit that hard soil, when he hit that hard bedrock, he kept going. He said, God, forgive me. Forgive me. You know, create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51, right after he had fallen with Bathsheba. And yet he said, listen, my sin is ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. He confessed his sin and he got up and he's ready to go again. Folks, that's the kind of hearer that God wants us to be. Not just the fair weather, not when just everything is going good, but what about when nobody else wants to come? I tell you what, there's a lot of people that get discouraged in churches like this of our size. They come to a church service on a Sunday morning, and you know what? There's 100 people in here, and they're excited, and we've got the instruments playing, and there's a lot of life that seems to be in here, and they're excited, and they're just thinking everything. And then they show up within their zeal. They show up on a Wednesday night because they're going to come on Wednesday night, and yes, we're going to show up to pray. And they get disillusioned that there's only 30 people. And I've seen a fair amount of people that show up to a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night that they were all excited because they thought 85 or 90 people were going to be there, and they realized the reality is not too many people put the importance on prayer. And they show up, and it discourages them. And they turn away, and they don't come back. Or they show up to a prayer meeting at 5:30 like we have, and they think that there's going to be 30 or 40 people in that prayer meeting on a Sunday night before the service. They find that there's only 3 or 4. And by the way, I'm not endorsing the fact that there's only 3 or 4. There ought to be a whole lot more than that. But they get discouraged. Brothers and sisters, that's not what God calls us to be. You see, God wants us to do right no matter what. Whether there's a lot of people or just a handful. But a lot of people, oh, they hear the truth and they're excited, they're gung-ho, they jump on the bandwagon. But it's very shallow. Very shallow. Folks, when the Word of God is preached, we need to take it as truth and we need to stick with it and try it and test it to be proven true. And it will be. We need to test it out, though. It will be true. Let's move on, though, because our time is going away. Here we have a third pathway, and that's the thorn pathway. Here we have this situation, verse 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns," it's a tough place to plant seed, "is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Here we have the thorn pathway. Initial signs again, right away in the beginning, but as life goes, and they tend to look around at everything else and say, you know what? This is great and all, but there's a whole lot more good out there. Isn't that true, though, today in which we live? Isn't there so much more? Now, I put it in quotes, good out there. It's not really so good. But isn't it as easy to see so many other people that are doing so many other fun things tonight? When you're in the church building, when you're in a church service. And I'll tell you what, brother here, you know, thank us for having a church service, you know, tonight. And we take no pride in that. I think that we ought to be in God's house as much as we can. And you know what? It's to their detriment. Those churches that have canceled their evening services, it's to their detriment. And my question is why wouldn't you want to receive the truth more? Why wouldn't you want to sing praises to the Lord? But you see, the fact of the matter is, and I'm not condemning, I'm not pointing any fingers, and forget those other churches. I'm just saying this, there are a lot of people out there that have a lot more of fun things to do besides go sit through a church service. They have other things that, boy, that looks so exciting. The delight in things. I tell you what, things can keep people away from hearing the truth because they don't want to part with those things. It's too risky. If I go that path, if I go that serious about it, then I'm going to have to give up this and give up that. And some people just won't do it. They cannot part from their things. They cannot part from their riches. They cannot part from the deceitful things that are out there that are so attractive, so alluring. Yet I'll tell you, those things will find them just as empty. If, in my opinion, according to the Word of God, I think emptier. In fact, the Word of God teaches, and the illustration was given about the man that had a dirty house and comes in and they sweep it clean, of course, with the devils or whatever like that. They get or swept it, and all the sin was taken care of, and the devils came into that empty house and made a bigger mess out of it, and it was in a worse case than when they started. You know, brothers and sisters, I believe with all of my heart that there are some people that go after the things of this world which only has a hole inside of them that fits the exact shape person of Jesus Christ. And they try to pack as many things. Boy, I've got to get that. I've got to get this. I've got to do this. And boy, I tell you what, they might have nice houses and nice cars and nice things and nice accessories and nice clothes and all these things. And then I'm telling you, those people are just as empty. Just as empty, if not more. Some of the richest people on their deathbed said, "Oh, if I could have only had more." And yet they died in their misery. Sad. What kind of a here are you? Are there things in life that are more important than that message that the preacher preached this morning? I want to tell you what was given this morning about practicing His presence and keeping your mind stayed on Thee, on the solid rock. I want to tell you that's important, but there were probably people that had more important things in their day than hearing that message and taking it. And you know what? They took heed to those things, and they're going to be left empty and destitute. When I want to tell you something, you take Jesus into your life and you let him be the center of your thoughts like we learned this morning, it will change your life. We need to be hearers of the word. We need to be doers of the word. We need to attach ourselves to what God gives us. And then fourthly, we have the good pathway. This is the individual, but he that received, verse 23, receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, because he wants to, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And by the way, this person is the one who hears, he receives, he understands, he obeys. And there's different levels of these kind of people. They're not all the same. You know what? And we're all different. There's going to be some that may produce more or less. But the fact is that these people are fruit-bearing people. They're people that are teachable. That they're the ones that on Sunday morning and Sunday night, they're saying, Lord, would you give me what I need to learn? And God, when you give it, I'm going to do it. The decision's already made. I want to obey you. That's the kind of hearer, folks, that we ought to be. I ask you, what kind of hearer are you this evening? Before we close, though, I just want to clear up some things about this. What's the point of this? So were all of these individuals Christians? Is this just about the reception of the gospel, just the gospel truth? What do we truly know? Again, I don't have all the answers. You know, some could surmise, okay, what about that first group? You know, the hard ground. Were they Christians? What about where there was a little bit of, you know, there was a little bit of growth and the root took place, but yet it hit the bedrock. Were they Christians? Were they saved? Where was the fruit? Well, they didn't have fruit, therefore they must not be. And again, I'll tell you, it's been debate after debate after debate whether these Christians are saved. I don't really know, but I know one thing. Let me give you a couple things that I know. I believe the last group was surely saved. I can tell you that. Because these people listened and they wanted to hear. It says they understood. They wanted to. They cared about it. And that doesn't mean, you know, that's not the qualification for salvation. But when a person's saved, they want to hear the truth. But you see, they also bore fruit. They bore fruit. We know that these individuals, I'm not going to say whether the other three were saved or not. Indication because of lack of fruit, maybe not. But remember, I don't want to get you bogged down on no fruit or whatever, because you might be involved in one of those other threes. You might be an individual that lets the cares of this world get in your way. Maybe you are one that is very emotional and you're excited when things are good, but struggling when things are bad. Maybe there's some in here that don't really care when the message is preached and you don't want to hear. Let me give you another truth, though, that we can see. Our response to this gospel and his truth is the answer of bearing fruit. If we're going to bear fruit, we need to be people that are willing to listen. Listen to the truth. Hear it and take it and obey it. I don't really believe that Jesus is just addressing eternal life. I believe it's part of it. I believe he's addressing everyone. How are you going to listen? I think he was addressing the disciples, and I think he was addressing those crowds. Will you be a hearer of the truth? Question for us is, what is preventing us from receiving that truth? Is it a hard heart? Is it where that we're not real? Is there too much care for this world? Let me close by giving you a couple lessons for those of you who are involved in preaching or teaching, because we can easily get discouraged. Can I say this? The good news was and will be rejected by the majority. And as a young preacher, I've gotten discouraged before when I've preached my heart out. And maybe no one responds or I don't hear anything, but you know what? That's normal. But the second thing that I want to point out is we will never know the lasting effects, but they are sure to come. And as preachers and teachers, maybe you teach a Sunday school class, you say, is anything happening? You know what? there's going to be some that falls on the hard soil that people reject. There's going to be some that falls on the emotional, that just is in it for the good times. There's going to be some that's choked out, but I'll tell you, there will be some that falls on good soil, and I'll tell you, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. And for us who are investing in people, by the way, in discipleship in a church, in a local church, it ought to be everybody. We're all learners and we're all leaders, every one of us, in some way. And so therefore, we need to take hope, take encouragement that as we give the truth, whether it's to your family members or to that neighbor, as you give the truth and you might think they didn't take it, listen, you keep giving it and somebody's going to take it. I want to tell you as a preacher, that's encouraging news from the parable of the sower, the seed, because some will take it and some will take root and it will be worth it over time. Number three, we must not look for quick results. Oftentimes it takes a long time for an acorn to become an oak. In fact, all the time it does. As a young preacher, again, I was discouraged even a couple years ago. Do you remember we had evangelist Rick Flanders come through? And Rick Flanders preached to us the whole week, and I had the opportunity to meet with him in my office several of the days. And I talked to him, and I was just sharing my burden, my passions, and everything that I wanted, for the church. And I said, sometimes it seems like I don't know that a lot of people are sharing my burden and want it. And he said, Sean, you listen to this. He said, your job is not to grow anything. Your job is to give it out. You just be faithful at sowing that seed. You be faithful at watering that seed. It is my job. It is God's job to do the rest. And some will fall. And I'll tell you what, there will be some people that grow from it. You know what? When he said, I will never forget that, I don't believe ever. In and out, day after day, week after week, give the truth, give the truth, give the truth, give the truth. And those little trees that we plant and we say, it'll never be big. One day, there it will be. That's what God wants from those disciples. Number four, the devil, our flesh and the world is antagonistic to the gospel and his word. And as disciples and leaders, we must be aware of this truth and these obstacles. We've got to be aware that the devil and the flesh and the world, I think those are the three things presented here, those three are going to do their work to try to snatch up the seed and to get it. And we've got to pray. We've got to pray for the power of the Holy One to get that root and to put it deep. It's the word, it's the ministry of prayer that we need. Because all three of these are against. Let me give you the last one. You say, what does it mean when he says, and bringeth forth some hundredfold and some 60 and some 30? Obviously, there's a variety. I'm going to have some different fruit than you're going to have. And God blesses people like D.L. Moody and George Mueller and stuff with just huge amounts of fruit. And you got that pastor, that little country church that seems to be faithful all those years And you know what? There's some 30 and some 60 and some 100. But can I say this? Every one of those God used. But number five, tremendous returns are available to those who will invest. Because when you really dig into what 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold means, it's actually phenomenal. Some have suggested it's like 3,000% and 60,000% and 100,000%, whatever it was, or maybe the top one was 10,000%. The fact of the matter is as we're faithful with the seed, and again, we're looking at two different sides. You're a hearer and a giver. But God blesses and multiplies the giving. And there was a story in my study, and I don't have it written down, and I'll mess it up, but D.L. Moody, that young man, when he came to know Christ, somebody gave that seed, I think it was a Sunday school teacher, whatever it was, gave that seed to him. And look at what God did with that seed. You never know. You never know. Listen to this. That we just got done with Vacation Bible School. And we saw, like, 18 kids come. And you scratch your head and say, was it worth it? You never know if that silly little kid up front that didn't seem to be listening to anything. You have no idea if a little seed was planted inside of him. And that God could use them one day to finish what Jesus came to do, and that's to reach all nations with the gospel. Don't underestimate the power of the seed and the sower. But before we close, maybe you ought to be a hearer so that God can use you in that way as well. Don't be hard. Don't be emotional. Don't care about the things of this world. Maybe God wants to use you. Maybe God will use that silly little kid that sat in front that wasn't listening, but maybe listened more than what you thought. And I'll tell you what, as we sat through Vacation Bible School, there were some kids that it didn't seem like they were listening that got a whole lot more than what we thought. God's word is powerful, folks. There's tremendous lessons, and probably a whole lot more than what I gave to you tonight. There's a lot of lessons from the parable of the sower and the seed. Let's not be discouraged. Let's keep giving, being faithful. You don't see fruit, you be faithful. Some's going to fall into good ground. You be a person that would be part of that good ground. Father, would you please help us? Lord, I thank you for this wonderful parable. Help us to take courage. Lord, at the same time, I pray that we would make sure that when the gospel is given, Lord, that we would be that hearer. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.